your family sing. And I was very glad that the topic this morning goes hand in hand with my topic this afternoon. And thankfully, Dawn and I was blessed earlier this spring. We were able to go on a cruise. We went on a cruise with her two sisters and their husbands, left out of Fort Lauderdale. It was right after the days of unleavened bread. The big cruise ship stopped at the Bahamas and stopped at St. Martin, St. Thomas. And while at St. Thomas, I'd done a little research on the internet, and there was one thing I wanted to do while I was there. I wanted to take a cable car to the top of the mountain and look at the beautiful view. I've read about it online, and it looked like something I'd be interested in. The other four traveling companions didn't want to go, so that was okay. It was a beautiful day, so Dawn and I decided to walk there. It was about 2 miles walk. It was a sidewalk alongside a road. No worries, right? Well, about three-fourths of the way there, I saw a shelter alongside the road, and it was a bus stop. And there was a man sitting there with his feet propped up. Dawn and I were holding hands, walking, talking, enjoying the beautiful day. The man jumped up, walking backwards, away from us, started cussing and swearing at us for no reason at all. And there's a lot of things that goes through your mind when something like this happens. We were about 50 feet from him, and I kept walking towards him, not saying a word. And he kept walking backwards, faster and faster, to get away from us, the whole time cursing at us. Feeling awkward, knowing that there was a spiritual battle going on. I knew that this man was probably demon-possessed. Why else would he do this? We continued to walk to our destination, the cable cars, and he almost ran backwards, cursing at us to get away from us. This continued until he was out of sight. It brought a scripture to mind, and it's that scripture, in all things, we are to be prepared. In all things, be prepared. There may be things that we have not experienced in our lifetime, but we are told to be prepared. So my question to you is today, are you prepared to confront a demon? Are you prepared to confront a demon? You never know what's going to happen in your life. Let's look at the background of demons. And a lot of this is review material for you. But the background of demons is, we know that the fallen angels are hostile to God and mankind and are called demons in the Bible. They share with Satan, their leader, the goal of deceiving people with false doctrine, generally making human life miserable, and if possible, even destroying people. How is this possible? How can evil spirits destroy the mental and physical state of mankind? Well, the first point I want to look at is Scripture tells us that a third of the angels followed Lucifer and his rebellion against God. These fallen angels we call demons. We call the fallen angels demons. In Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4, it says, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. His tails drew a third of the stars in heaven and threw them to the earth." So we see that the angels are called stars in Revelation. But before the great serpent was cast down, who was Satan before that? Before the creation of Adam and Eve, God created his angels. There was an age when God created his spiritual family, the angels. He created several types of angels. We have read the seraphim are considered as fiery serpents, and not even other divine beings may look at them. There are only four of them. Each has four faces and six wings. And then we have cherubim. These angels are the keepers of the record and hold the knowledge of God. They're sent to earth with task, and they're the ones that also expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Then we have archangels. This order is most commonly known because they're mentioned by name in the Bible: Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. The angels, however many different levels there are, all have their own duties. Angels have their own duties. Let's read in Hebrews 1, verse 13. We'll read of a duty. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. It says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" Verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So this scripture says that we read that all minister for those who will inherit salvation. If they are an angel, they will minister to those who inherit salvation, the sons of God. That is the purpose of angels. So we can say that if they, in fact, are not ministering, then they are the devil. They are evil spirits, Satan's demons in disguise. As we know that God created at least three types of angels, and we know that at least a third of them followed Satan, then I would have to think that Satan probably kept the same type of government, demonic government. So he probably also has levels of demons to do his specific jobs and work. So we see that God created a spiritual world, one of which was Lucifer, Satan. He was originally known as the son of morning. Lucifer was a wonderful, beautiful creation. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Ezekiel 28. Verse 14, it says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you become filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as profane thing out of the mouth of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, for the midst of the fiery stones." Verse 17, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth. And the sight of all who saw you, all who knew you among the peoples, are astonished at you. You have become a whore and shall be no more forever." As we see in these scriptures, Satan was a cherub who covered the throne of God. It's also, the covering is in Exodus 25:20, the one of two covered the mercy seat. And in verse 15 of Exodus 25, it said that he was created perfect and became corrupt. into pride. His physical beauty, supernatural wisdom, the perfection. But Lucifer, he became full of iniquity. Satan was just not another angel, but he was the anointed cherub. Nowhere else in Scripture says or defines another anointed angel. Satan was special. He was a special anointed cherub. Let's turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12 talks about the fall of Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who are weakened to the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So we see a lot of envy in Satan's heart. Envy to be like the Most High. Lucifer, the son of the morning, fallen, cut down to the ground. Scripture says that Satan's desire is to be like God the Father, the Most High, and that he has deceived many nations. My wife worked in the mental health field for many years, and she quickly learned that medication did help the majority of people with mental illness, with depression, with mood swings, and help them focus on their daily lives. However, there were some clients that medication did not help. And those clients that the meds did not help told Dawn that they were demon-possessed. So even though the doctor would describe different medications, it would not help the people. And they were not cured by today's medications. Those clients were very unruly, and most case managers couldn't handle them. However, Dawn knew that they were demon-possessed, and interestingly enough, they would submit to what Dawn had to say. If she asked them to sit down in a meeting, they would sit down and listen. Unlike the other case managers and doctors. And how do we have that, brethren? As the message earlier said, we have the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit of God. Point number two, demons help Satan in deceiving people with false teachings. Demons are Satan's servants. Their desire is to deceive brethren, deceive people of the world, to ruin their lives. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. We'll start towards the beginning and work our way back. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are a beast. For he forsook God who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not hear of. So even in the Old Testament, we read of the Song of Moses, speaks about the people who worshipped foreign gods, made sacrifices to demons, and to new gods that they created. New gods and old gods. So this false worship has been going on for a long, long time, worshiping the demons. Let's turn to Psalm 106, verse 28. Psalm 106, verse 28. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. So we do know that if we don't follow God the Father, that we will be cursed. We will have plagues among us, as we do today. Verse 30, then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. They angered him, who also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord has commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works, and played the harlot by their own deeds. The people were so polluted during this time that they not only worshiped the idols, but they sacrificed the innocence of their sons and daughters to their idols. That is about as evil as you can get, brother. Let's turn to Revelation 18, verse 1. Satan and his demons have been busy throughout the years. It's for this reason that we are to stay close to God through prayer, Bible study, and fasting. Revelation 18, verse 1, talks about the fall of Babylon the Great. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you shall in her sins, and lest you shall receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So we see that the scripture goes on in verse 9 and down to talk about the kings of the earth and all those who become rich to Babylon's iniquities. All those nations that mourn for the fall of Babylon, the fall of Satan's world. So we are to come out of that, to be separated, to stay close to God the Father. One of my first encounters was as a teenager. The Portsmouth congregation took a teen trip to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, to visit the Capitol building, the Washington Monument, the White House, the Treasury building, the Smithsonian. During a walk around the green grass yard, we walked next to a homeless elderly lady sitting on the ground, a beggar, asking passerbyers for money. As we walked closer, she stood up, pointed her finger at us, and started cussing at us as we were kids and teenagers. What did we do? I could also tell at that time that she was demon-possessed, that there was a spiritual warfare going on. She left immediately. She didn't want to be anywhere around us. So the third point is to defeat the enemies of God. We need the armor of God, don't we? We need the armor of God. And we know that in Ephesians 6, verse 11, let's turn to that, we'll read it. Ephesians 6, 11 talks about putting the armor of God. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And it continues on to list the full armor of God that we should be putting on every day, brother. Every day. Our physical life that we live is a learning ground. It's a learning experience. We are to have trials and learn from the problems that we're faced with. Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these ways for 40 years in the wilderness." For 40 years. Why? "To humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." It's the same thing with us today, brethren. We are being led in the wilderness for 40 years, some of us longer, 60 years. Some of us even longer. But no matter what the case is, we are in the wilderness and we are there for a purpose. We are there to be humbled and tested to see if we will continue to keep God's commandments, to walk His way of life. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the demons." This passage tells us that all mankind has to choose. A person cannot worship Satan and God the Father. Let's talk about wisdom for a moment. Wisdom. Good and evil wisdom. Let's turn to James 3. Verse 13, James 3:13. And the title in my Bible says, "Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom." "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done and the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion every evil thing are there. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see the demonic versus the spiritual wisdom. And we see that the effects of sin, in our day and time, we see the effects of sin. Mankind lifespan has begun dropping dramatically after the flood. By 2700 BC, Egypt had fallen into idolatry, and an entire nation became slaves. 2000 BC, two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, became so evil that God destroyed them by fire and brimstone. By 1400 BC, the Canaanite tribes became so perverted that God ordered their total destruction. And we know that the list of perverted nations go on and on throughout our time today. Now let's read some great examples of where God's people overcame demons. Matthew 17. We'll begin with our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. Matthew 17, verse 14. And we will read of a boy is healed. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said in verse 17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from this very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast out the demon? Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting what it took to get this demon out of this boy, to heal this child. So this was a great lesson for the disciples at this time. Let's turn to James 4, verse 7, and we will read of another example. James 4, 7, it says, Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God is the key thing here. We have to submit our lives to God the Father, to put God the Father first in our lives. And God the Father is ruler and king over all, Satan over the demons. So if we submit to God, it says resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. We have to draw near to God in prayer, Bible study, and fasting. That's something we've heard throughout the years growing up in the church, prayer, Bible study, and fasting. Become close to God the Father. That is the same exact example that Christ gave to us in Matthew 17 that we just read about. Let's turn to James 2:19. Forward a chapter, James 2:19, it says, "Do you believe that there is one God?" Even the demons believe and tremble. So, we know that the demons have been around long before Adam and Eve was created, 6,000 years ago. That the demons, Satan, is wise, and that they know that the power of God the Father. They tremble and fear God the Father. Another example is we know that Christ sent the 12 disciples out to preach to the kingdom of God and also to heal the sick. They were given special gifts to perform this work. Let's turn to Luke 9, verse 1. And it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So we see that the 12 disciples honored Christ and did as he asked. The disciples were given power over the demons. They were given power to heal the sick. They could cast out those who were possessed. Throughout the journeys, though, they had to trust and rely upon God the Father, that God would supply their every need. Once again, putting God the Father first. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. We know during this time that the work grew, and they needed more people to labor for the harvest. 10, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." So he had already a list of cities that he was going to attend. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace to this house." So we see that 70 more were sent out to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, because the harvest was great. There were a lot of people being called during this time. And then we'll read verse 17. After the 70 returns from their journey of going out, it says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice
because your names are written in heaven. This was probably a very troubling time for Satan and his angels, that Christ gave them the authority and power in Christ's name to cast out demons. That being commanded to leave by the disciples by using the name of Jesus Christ. So I can just imagine the demon and the angels, or the demons, and how upset they were to have to leave that area. Even the archangel Michael was in a dispute once with Satan concerning the location of where Moses was buried. In Jude 9, it says, Michael told Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." So we see even the archangel Michael rebuked Satan using the name of the Lord. Scripture always complements Scripture. I have another story for you. There was a minister in training, and he went to a house visiting with another pastor. He was being trained under the main pastor. The head minister was asked to cast out a demon in the household. So as he's talking to this person with the demon, he asked the demon, "When you're cast out, where are you going to go?" The demon-possessed person immediately said that he was going to enter the assistant minister, Dave Trebig. The hair on the back of Mr. Trebig's neck stood up, and Mr. Trebig immediately said, "No, you're not." So you can imagine what that situation was like. Mr. Trebig is assistant minister trying to learn the ropes, and that was one of his first experiences. Demons like to torment mankind. Let's turn to Luke 11, verse 24, and we'll read of a few scriptures here in Luke 11. I believe it's also the same scriptures in Matthew 24. But Luke 11, verse 24, it says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.'" Verse 25, "And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they also enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." So we see in this scripture that demons, they like to dwell in mankind. They do not like dry places where there's no rest. We see that certain situations can become more than seven times worse than what they originally were. So if they don't like their where they're going, they'll come back home. The good news is that we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us, don't we? We are told that. We've heard it for years. God will never leave us nor forsake us. That we are to stay close to God in prayer, study, fasting. That we are protected by God our Father. Christ our brother, God's Spirit that is within us. That we heard in the morning message. God's Spirit that is within us. And the ministering angels that are about us. We are protected. Let's turn to 1 John 5, verse 18 to conclude. 1 John 5, 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. As we close, I want you to think about the messages given today, that we are to keep God first in our life, that we are to cherish him. And how do we do that? We do it through Bible study, prayer, and fasting, as we've been taught throughout our lifetime. That we are to be prepared for all things, even to be prepared for interaction with the demon. Demons are real. They walk in and among mankind. The good news is that as long as we are close to God, God protects us from demons. And the demons tremble in the name, the very name of Jesus Christ. We've read examples of Christ, the 12 disciples, the 70 ministers that went out preaching the gospel, Michael, the archangel. All gave us examples